Eternal redemption is our title today. Hebrews 9, 11 to 14 is our text. We've been going through, now in October and November, we've been going through the book of Hebrews. That's been the epistle text from our lectionary, from the readings. And so that's where we've been. And as we've gone through Hebrews, we have found that a big part of the theme, as Hebrews is written to primarily at the time Jewish Christians who maybe had a temptation to go back to some of the practices of Judaism, thinking that that was important and necessary for salvation. We've been getting to, the author of Hebrews has been expressing that Jesus is greater than anything in that old covenant. And so as we've been going through this, of course, we want to know how does that apply to us, not just Jewish Christians in the first century. So that's where we ask that question as we go along. But it still applies to us because we find that, well, the same kind of things that they might have been tempted to add on to worship of Jesus aren't the same for us. Those aren't the same things, but there still are things that may come up in our lives and in our walk with Christ that may veer us away from the true gospel in Christ. And so we want to be reminded of what the gospel message really is. And we find that, as I said, Jesus is greater than everything, and salvation through Him. So the author of Hebrews first off starts out saying that He is greater than the angels. He's the Son of God. And then we noted a few weeks ago that the rest that He gives is a greater rest than what the Israelite, the Jewish nation, found in the Promised Land, because it is a forever rest, whereas that was really only for this lifetime, if they even were able to experience it. Then we found that there is a greater priest and a greater sacrifice. We found that last week, as this priest, as John pointed out as he was preaching, that this priest in Jesus lives forever, whereas the priests that came before would die. They needed new priests all the time, but He is forever. And then in the intervening chapter between that text from last week, we find this description of a greater covenant that God is making, finding fault with the first, although He knew it was already there. The reason is because it was not the end covenant. In the Old Testament even, that covenant was not meant to last. It could not do anything beyond this life and in itself. And so there's a new covenant replacing the old. And now in our text, as we get in this letter of Hebrews, we get to a point where we now start to consider the tabernacle that was built as a place to worship God, as a place that God located His presence with the people, with His people. And it was a special place. And as we are thinking about that the next few weeks, different aspects of it, actually, we're going to try something here. I want to have the kids come up. And what I want you to do, the kids, you can come up. I want any kids that want to come up on this side over here. Normally, you come up in the middle here. But I want you to be over on this side, kind of. And if I could recruit a few of the bigger kids to come up with them, we could definitely use your help. We are going to try this here and see if this works. See if we'll get this. Theo, would you want to grab this here? Yeah. All right, so we'll be doing something up here. All right, let's see. Did we get that up on the screen there? We'll see, and hopefully it doesn't make our streaming cut out for those that are watching at home, but if it does, the recording will be ready later. Okay. All right. Oh, that's a good view. No, that's not what we want to be looking at right now. Okay. All right. Actually, if some of you could come over this way. I want you to come over this way here. Maybe those of you that were sitting over, can you girls, can you all come over here? And in fact, you could probably sit right here. That would be helpful. You want to sit right on here? That would be good. And maybe one or two others over there. Could you come over here? Jude, do you want to come over here and sit? Oh, you don't want to. Okay. And okay, all right. We're fine the way we are. All right. Okay, here's what I would like. I think I will start with this group over here. Could you guys come over and help me with something? All of you that are sitting on that section of chairs there. All right. I want you to take... Here, hold these carefully. All right, bring them over. All right, we might need a couple people on these ones. You want to? Can you get that? Do you need a little help there, Saul? Oh, you got it? Okay. We want to come right over here. Here, you want to grab that one? All right. Oh, you want to help with that? Okay. All right. Come over here. Let's start with Saul. Can you? Here we go. And Theo, if you want to come a little closer, if it would help. Okay, what I need, Eli, is that one right there. Can I have this one right here? Thank you. All right, we're going to stick that here. Can you hold this here, Eli? Can you help me hold these right here? All right, we're doing that. Let's see, I got to get a few of these out here. All right, okay, I'm going to stick this right in here. All right, now we want that long one right there. Yes, I put that the right way. Good. Okay, now this one, we're going to want right like that.
I can hold it.
Okay. You can hold it? Okay, thank you. Good. Okay, that's good. Now, oh, hey, that's the one I need right there. Thank you. All right, we're going to stick that in here. Okay, so here, if you guys are watching, and the others will get to come up and help me with something else too. This is the tabernacle, and this is a place that where... This place right here is a place where the priest, the high priest, would only go in once a year. Okay? And the rest of this, only the priests got to go in. And we'll learn a little bit more about that. You guys, I think, are going to be looking at it in Sunday school, too, in a couple weeks. Oh, not today, but in a couple weeks you will. Okay. All right, good. All right, thanks for helping me with that. You guys can go back to your seat. I'm going to ask another group to come up here. All right. Would the three of you want to come over here? All right, so, all right, we got a view of that there. All right, here's what I want you to help me with. Hey, Saul, would you want to go back over there? Okay, could you get the top one of those out? Not that one yet. This one here. Okay, so the tabernacle was covered with four different types of fabric. There was an interior one that was bright color, and it had cherubim woven into it. Then, oh, actually, we're going to do this one next. This is kind of to represent goat hair. Do you want to help me spread that out here? All right, can we get that? You want to hold that this way here? There we go. Okay, then this one comes next. Can you help? Did you notice that this used to be a jacket? Yeah, this represents, it's not quite the right size and shape, but that represents ram skin. And this is an exterior covering that's sea cow hide. That's the outer layer. All right. Okay, if you guys want to go back, I'm going to get the last group over here. Okay, can you guys come up over here? All right. Let's see. We need this one here in the back over here. So, could you guys bring those over here? This is the courtyard. All right, so we're going to line this up here, and one of those can be lined up on this side. All right. And you can just line those ones up, and then that's the front. Bring that over this way. Yep, Moses, you don't hit him in the head. These are a little bit heavier. Okay. Oh, there we go. Okay, thank you guys for your help setting all of that up. All right, just a couple things. You guys will learn more about it in Sunday school in a couple weeks, I think. But for now, here's what's important right now, what we're thinking of. This is a place, and we'll find out more about it in the next couple weeks too. Yeah, we're not going to do that right now. But this is a place that in the big, this was like a big tent. That it was a place to worship God, and only the priests could come in here, and only the high priest could go into that very middle only once a year. So here's what I'm going to do. I have a paper for you guys that illustrates this tabernacle. It's kind of like a church, yeah. All right. Could you pass some of these out? All right, thanks for coming up, guys, and you can take a little bit more of a look at it later. Oh, it's falling apart there. Okay, Theo, thank you. All right, we'll fix the front. Oh, here. Can I take that? We'll fix that in a little bit. Okay, thank you. Oh, thank you. All right. There we go. All right. Let's see. Hopefully we've got enough of these. Anybody want to help? Here, can you hand out if anybody else needs them? All right. Well, that was an adventure. I didn't know for sure how that would work. I figured you go something like that. Yeah, good. Thanks, guys, for helping me out. All right. Well, what I wanted to do that for, and thanks to Kay for providing some fabric for me, and to Paul for building the tabernacle and the courtyard. It's, you know, we just got it done recently. I might do a little bit of improvement to it, but but it's good to be able to visualize. I think what this was like, and it can help us visualize this. The courtyard that was, a tent that kind of blocked out. Only people in certain circumstances could come into that courtyard, and even more specific into the tabernacle itself. And then, as I said, only once a year the high priest into that center room, that back room in there, the Holy of Holies. So the tabernacle was set up this way, and it represents for us the difficulty of coming to God, because we can't be in His presence as sinful people, rebellious people, but He wants us to come to Him, and this is the way that He set up in the Old Testament for people to be able to come near Him, not exactly right in His presence, but near to Him, to worship Him. But it has its limits, and that's what we're going to be discovering today. It has its limits. So we're going to be reading from Hebrews 9, 11 to 14. I'll invite you to stand as I read that this morning. Hebrews 9, 11 to 14, reading in Jesus' name. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands, that is to say, is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but He entered the most holy place once for all by His own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more, then, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? Let's pray. Father, thank You for this word to us. Thank You for the blessing of the tabernacle in the Old Testament that pointed people to You and was a way for Your people to connect to You. And we also thank You that something greater is here, that You provided the greater tabernacle in heaven, and You provided the greater sacrifice in Jesus. Please help us today as we consider these words. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I said, last week we heard about a new high priest, Jesus, who is greater than all of the priests that came before, because they died. And in contrast, Jesus never dies. He can be priest forever. He is the perfect priest. He is the perfect sacrifice for us. And today we hear a little bit more about the application of that. As we think about the tabernacle, obviously going to the tabernacle, worshiping there, this is not something that is really applicable directly to us, right? We don't have this image of going there, because we don't do that. Coming to church is different, right? Coming to worship together is different. Similar, but different than what that was. That was a particular way of coming to meet God. And so we might ask, well, what does all of this have to do with us as we hear about this tabernacle stuff and the new tabernacle in heaven? What does all of this have to do with us? And we might start by asking, well, what is the problem that is illustrated by the Old Testament tabernacle? What is it that we find in there? And we think about our sin, our rebellion, the fact that we don't follow God in everything in our lives. And we recognize that this is a problem that needs a solution. That we find in the tabernacle a type of solution to the problem of sin and rebellion. And we might ask, well, what type of a solution is this? And if we think about solving problems, let's just think about a couple different ways that we might solve different problems. For example, if one of the kids has a new toy, And, you know, it's a nice toy, but it might be a little bit fragile in some way, or maybe it's not, but kids sometimes are just really rough on their toys. And so you get a toy that gets broken. You know, something is broken. And they come crying to mom or dad and say, my toy broke, I can't play with it anymore, can we do anything? Well, you might get out the glue or tape or nails, or depending on the type of toy it is, you might get out something and be able to kind of fix it. And sometimes, maybe we try and fix something like that. We put the glue on there, we stick it together, we say, okay, we're going to wait a few hours, and when that's all together, it'll be as good as new. All right, so we have that expression, right? As good as new. That's going to be as good as new. But is it really going to be as good as new? We have a couple of toys that the boys have broken, just these Transformers. They're plastic, they're little pieces, and I've tried gluing them, and maybe there's a better way to try and fix it. But the reality is, it's not even close to as good as new, because they play with it for 2 seconds and it breaks again. So I've been very bad at fixing those. But even if it lasts longer, is it really as good as new? I think about driving my car around, and it's a Minnesota car. It's been around for a while. Our minivan in particular, and it's got a section of rust on the driver's side down at the bottom. Some of it's breaking apart, and I think, well, I could clean that all up. I could even put in a replacement metal piece on that and repaint it. And you know, I don't know that a 2010 minivan is really worth all that effort, but I could do that and make it look really nice. And I might say, oh, it's as good as new. But it wouldn't be as good as new, would it? I think about, quite a few years ago, I was playing Ultimate Frisbee, and just to clarify, if we say Ultimate Frisbee and you're thinking Frisbee golf, it's different. Ultimate Frisbee is a team sport. You're running through the field, across the field, like a kind of football or soccer type of game, trying to score points. Well, my teammate had thrown me the Frisbee one time while I was playing, and I went to catch it. And another guy, much larger than myself, also was going for the Frisbee, and our shoulders collided, and his did not give way. Mine did. My collarbone broke. And, that's not a terrible break. You know, you don't even do a cast or anything. You know, I had my arm in a sling a few days, and really a week later, most of the pain, I was cautious, but pretty much there wasn't much pain left. But you know what? I can still feel that spot right here. It overlaps a little bit the other part of the bone. I can feel where that broke. It's not as good as new. But let's go to some other aspects of life too. Think about broken relationships. Think about relationships in our lives and the way those get broken. A friend lied to you, or a family member, lied to you, or something else happened. You got in a fight. Angry words were spoken. We go beyond that, we might get to the point of saying, well, a spouse maybe has been unfaithful. We can think about relationships being broken in that way. And those are the kinds of things. Maybe, a lie was stated, and maybe, okay, it comes out, we resolve the issue, we forgive one another. Maybe it's as good as new. Maybe. But you think about a spouse being unfaithful, and there's reconciliation, but could the couple really say it's as good as new? They probably wouldn't. It can be resolved, but not as good as new. In our study, For the Love of God, we've been going through Hosea, and God has likened an unfaithful spouse to his people that have been unfaithful to him. So now we find something that applies to all of us, because in our sinful nature, we all have been unfaithful to God. And that is the supreme relationship, and for all of us, it's been broken. And even though we may come to God and say, will you please forgive me? I'm sorry for what I did. Can we really say just in that much by itself that it's as good as new? I think we'd have to admit that really, if we owe God everything, then even anything in the future that we can do that might be good is not enough to make up for the things that we've already done wrong, because we owe him all that already. We don't have extra to give. We cannot make it as good as new. It can't be as good as new. Now, the tabernacle that was set up in the Old Testament, see, here's where we're getting to the problem of this. The tabernacle, it was important. It was a way for the people to be cleansed on the outside, for them to acknowledge their rebellion, for them to be able to come near to God, to receive his forgiveness. To be a part of his people. Individuals would be a part of his people through this. To be in his presence, kind of. But it really only took care of the outside of that directly. You know, the end of all of this is death. And death is for eternity. Whatever solutions we find on this earth, death is for eternity. And those solutions won't last into eternity if there is no remedy, right? That is eternal. There is a need for a new priest, as we heard. There's a need for a new tabernacle, because that tabernacle did not serve an eternal purpose. It only served the purpose for those people at that time to come close to God and to be cleansed on the outside so they could be in His presence. That was the function of that first tabernacle. It was a place for God's presence to be with humans. And as we, you know, we tried to be make this to scale or pretty close. It doesn't, you know, not everything in the dimensions, especially as I said. Well, I don't have sea cow hide, you know, so I couldn't do that anyway. But the one that was kind of most important to consider and get close on was the Holy of Holies, that inside room there, and the inside room was a cube, the image of perfection, of God's holiness. And perfection, the same dimensions, three directions, the same measurement in all three dimensions. And this was where God located His presence. And we notice the problem, which we'll actually look at in more detail in the coming weeks, but the problem here is that the people couldn't come in to God's presence. They couldn't be in that inner room. Only the high priest, only once a year, would come into that room. So we see the problem still. But as the tabernacle was dedicated, as that first tabernacle was dedicated, the people were sprinkled with the blood of a sacrifice and the ashes of a heifer from another sacrifice. They were sprinkled with those, and that was a sense of cleansing them from their rebellion against God, so they could at least be called His people and be there. We also hear in the Old Testament about the Day of Atonement, where there was a sacrifice, a bull, first that sacrifice for the high priest, and he would offer the sacrifice for himself, and he had a particular way that he needed to do that as he went in, and he sprinkled blood from that on the Ark of the Covenant that was in that Holy of Holies. And then he would offer a sacrifice for the people. A goat would be sacrificed, the blood would be sprinkled, and then another goat, as if that's where the term scapegoat comes from, is the scapegoat, who is the sins of the people are put on that goat, metaphorically, and he is taken out into the wilderness where he cannot survive. And it symbolizes the sins of the people being taken away from them. And this is what God says in Leviticus when He instructs them how to do this thing on the Day of Atonement. He says, on this day, atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins. Outwardly clean, their sins forgiven, in a sense. They received God's forgiveness. They were able to come into God's camp, be part of His people. But you know what? We need more than just that. They needed more. This tabernacle is still a part of this creation, and it made them clean for this life, in essence, to be in His presence. But Jesus, the author of Hebrews says, entered a tabernacle not made by human hands, a heavenly tabernacle. Now, I'm not imagining necessarily that there's an actual physical tabernacle in heaven, but this represents heaven. Heaven is, in essence, the tabernacle, the heavenly tabernacle. Jesus entered the heavenly most holy place, the Holy of Holies, by His own blood, obtaining eternal redemption. Obtaining eternal redemption. We ask the question in our catechism as the kids go through that, why must our Savior be true man? And the answer is, well, it's to take our penalty, to become like us. And the fact that He is true man is clearly stated in Scripture. The fact that He needed to be is also very clearly stated. The next question is, why must our Savior be true God? And the answer is, so that His blood would cover all of our sins for all people to obtain eternal redemption. Now, it's very clear in Scripture that Jesus is God, What's not 100% clearly stated in those words is that he needed to be. But we find in these words that the author of Hebrews is telling us here that that really is the core of the matter. He needed to be. He is God and he needed to be. That's who needed to save us, is God himself, to obtain eternal redemption. If the first tabernacle, well, then the author here says, he makes this comparison. He says, if the first tabernacle sacrifice was able to make the people outwardly clean so they could be in God's camp, how much more will this one, through the eternal Spirit, and here again is a reason why we see that this was necessary, through the eternal Spirit offered unblemished to God himself, and how much more will that cleanse our consciences? The inside can be clean. The eternal Spirit is probably not so much referring to the Holy Spirit as it is to the eternal nature of Jesus' Spirit. That because he is God, he is able to give eternal redemption that goes beyond just this life. Now here's another amazing part though. That it needs to go beyond this life for eternity, for the future. But it's not just for them. It is for heaven, but it is also for now. It's also for now. He says, this death sacrificed by Jesus and his resurrection cleanses our consciences from acts that lead to death now, so that we can serve the living God. Our consciences can be clean. And also, if we go back to the beginning of our text, this is highlighted as well. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are to come? No. He says that are now already here. It's not just for eternity. It's even now we have these good gifts from him. Eternal redemption begins now as we have forgiveness of our sins, as we have clean consciences, as we have eternal life, as we serve God, even now in this life. We can say it's as good as new. Jesus has fixed it as good as new. Yes, in eternity, but even now our consciences are clean. As we think about that Day of Atonement in the Old Testament, those words that God gave that spoke about the people's sin as being forgiven, one commentator has talked about that as being sacramental in a way. And meaning, especially in our Lutheran heritage, as we talk about the sacraments being ways that along with God's Word, the means of grace, His Word delivers His grace to us. Baptism delivers His grace, His forgiveness to the person being baptized. And communion delivers His forgiveness to the person partaking in communion. It's a delivery method. And as in the Old Testament, even though it was in a sense only outwardly, they needed to do it every year, but there was a sense in which God said their sins are forgiven. And it was in a sense that sacramental type of action on God's part, where he said Jesus would die, you know, 1,000 years later, but right now, because of him, your sins are forgiven. And when we come to communion to partake in that, we are receiving that forgiveness of sins through the gift that God is giving us. Because of our sin and rebellion, we have eternal separation from God. That's after death, if nothing else is done, that's our fate. Death, eternal separation from him. Things are broken. They cannot be fixed. They can't be fixed as good as new, except if we have eternal redemption. And we have it. Everything will be perfect in eternity. I don't know if we'll take our... I guess we pretty much know we're not going to take our toys with us, right? But if we did, they'd be good as new if they were in eternity, right? If my car ended up there for some reason, it would have no rust. It would be as good as new, right? If my bone... Now that I will have with me, right? On my body. It'll be as good as new. Like really, as good as new. Our relationships will be restored as good as new. Our rebellion will be removed as good as new. We will be. Our conscience is clear. But here's the promise that God has given us. Here's the word He has given us, the good word for us. That starts. That as good as new has started, even now for us. We don't have to live with guilty consciences. Isn't that great? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your love for us. Thank You that we do have eternal redemption, and that You have given us that even starting now as we trust in You and as You cleanse our consciences so that our rebellion is forgiven. And we don't have to live with the guilt of that. And we can trust You each and every day to forgive everything that we do. Thank You for Your promises of eternal redemption, of fixing everything as good as new. Help us to trust that and share that with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.